We're at Faith Bible Church. It's 4/3/2014. We're at Thursday night Bible study. I'm Paul A. Baalbek III, which y'all know, but we're going to open up in prayer. And before I get started, what I want to say is board is discussing, Marty was telling me and the pastor had mentioned to me, whether to keep the Thursday night Bible study going. That if there's enough people coming and things. So if, but I would encourage you, if you want it to continue, I would like to, because I'm not worried about numbers. Sunday, they'll probably have a meeting, right? So let the board know what your wishes are. You know, if you don't, you know, then you don't, but, because that way they can make a good decision, you know, based on, the wishes of people in the church too, or the ones who do come. So with that, we'll, excuse me, open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. We just praise you for who you are. We thank you for all of our spiritual blessings in Christ, that you've made us complete. You've forgiven us all of our sins, not just our past, but our present and till the day we die, and you took them and put them on Christ. And you gave us his righteousness, and what a blessing. We have your Son indwelling us by his Holy Spirit. And I pray, Father, as we look through this series on our spiritual blessings from Ephesians chapter 3, that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. And we look at all these gold nuggets that's all put together to what them spiritual blessings are. We would rejoice, Lord. And we would just desire to serve you in dependence and gratitude. And I pray your Holy Spirit will be the real teacher tonight here. I pray that he'll turn the light on, illumine our minds. Give us wisdom and spiritual understanding to grasp what our topic and subject tonight from your word, the doctrine of being baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So that's actually, I should have mentioned it before it started, so people listening would know what it's going to be about. But we're going to deal with, again, go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, because really that was my plan, to just preach through Ephesians. And we will, if the study continues anyway. Hi, sister. Ephesians 1, verse 3. We jumped off from this verse, and there's a reason for it. It says, blessed... again, look at that. It's a eulogy to a living being. Blessed be to our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So all means every. We're complete in Christ, Colossians says. And so what, this is why I went into it, because sometimes we can just read through something, and what's the pastor always say, and we should know this ourselves. What interpret scripture. Scripture interprets scripture. So that's what we're doing. We're going to the different scriptures to tell us what are these spiritual blessings. And I came up with, I'm using actually sort of a guideline from when we used to go to Grace Gospel and then go and study it out on my own. 36 things. Some people come up with more because some people divide, you know, maybe one thing into two. But overall, I think on average, people come up with about 36 things. And one of our spiritual blessings is we're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one who takes us and places us in the Christ. He identifies us in Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. We'll see later on that God takes us out of Adam. And what? We're identified in his death. Then what? Burial, right? Why is burial important? Because burial means who we were in Adam never comes back. Dead. Now, does that mean the sin nature is dead? No. Just who we were in Adam. But we still have that, if you want, that bent, that unholy DNA from Adam, that sin nature. But even the cross broke the power of sin. So, and then what? He identifies us in Christ's resurrection. So Christ now rises and indwells us by his Holy Spirit. We have Christ living in us. And the Holy Spirit does that. You ever think of, you know, the Holy Spirit? He has so much, as you see as we're going through this. Remember when we went through first the ministries of the Holy Spirit, you know, to get to know Him better. You know, He's our comforter, our teacher, He's God. You know, some people, you know, and why I did that study, because the excesses, you know, and one, if you want, one, like the charismatics, Pentecostals, different things, on that side, but then you get, and right, people who rightly divide the word, and they sort of, because the excesses over here, where they take verses out of context, or they actually revelation knowledge, you know, revelation apart from the Word of God. And what happens, they sort of lean over here, and they don't talk that much about the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit's the third person of the Trinity, isn't He? He's the one who places in the Christ death, burial, and resurrection. He's our teacher, you know. He's a person. And He's a special person to us. He should be. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. Another reason why this study is important today is because you hear a lot about baptism, don't you, in Christendom. You hear a lot about water baptism, right? You want to get some that divides? Start discussing how to water baptize, the mode. Or you'll get some dip, right? Some drop, you know, on the babies. Some baptize babies. Some say no. Some say you got to do it in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Some say Jesus. You know, I'm getting dizzy here. It's you know, and the meaning of baptism, water baptism, and then you have. On the other side, you have the charismatics that talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, that you need to get that after you get saved. You know, where it says we're sealed with the Holy Spirit the moment we believed, Ephesians chapter 1. You don't get none else. You're complete in Christ. See, it's so important to know your identity in Christ. Know what we possess in Christ. And not only that, what you have in Christ, then you appropriate. You know what appropriate? You appropriate by faith. Appropriate means I take what's mine. What we have in Christ, by faith, you take it and make application in your life. So, we're going to look at, if we have time at the end, I doubt it, we're going to look at water baptism. What was the purpose of it? I don't know if we will, but I'm sure you have studied some on that. If we have a chance, I'll go over it. But right now, we're just going to try and deal with the Holy Spirit baptizing us in the body of Christ. And when you think of baptism, everybody thinks what usually in Christendom? Water. You know, John the Baptist, you know. There's many baptisms in Scriptures. I think somebody's come up with about 12 or more of them. Talks about they were baptized into Moses, right? That was a waterless baptism, wasn't it? You know, when they went through the sea,
right.
they didn't get touched by a drop of water. The Egyptians, they got really water baptized. Yeah, dunked. Then Christ said he had a baptism to be baptized with. And then so you're talking about the cross, there's no water there. He talked about a baptism with fire and judgment. You know, and you hear people say, I want the baptism of fire. You know you don't. That's fire and judgment, man. So, baptism has the idea being placed into. If you want to say even immersed, placed into, identified with. So, when you think of baptism, don't always think water. Context of the verses will tell you what that word means, and any word actually. What's very important in understanding a verse, the context, right? Otherwise, you can make the Bible say whatever you want. Take a verse out of context, and it's a pretext, right? You're reading into it instead of getting out of it. So, 2 Corinthians chapter, when I say 12, verse 13.
Yes.
I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians. Start in verse 12. It's talking about the church of today, the body of Christ. For as the body is one So we're one body, that's the church of today, and has many members. So there's many members, but only one body. And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. You see that? We have oneness in Christ. We're so identified with Him. You know, when it says that we're seated in the heavenlies with Him, a lot of I've heard, you know, good preachers and Bible teachers say, well, God sees us in the future because He knows time. No, we are seated there now. Why? We're one with Christ. He's the head, right? We're the body. If He's seated there, we're seated in Him. Can I say, here's my head, you know, my head on my shoulders for the people listening. And, you know, if I sit down, if my head's leaning on the back of the chair, my body's there too, right? That's our oneness with Christ. We're joint heirs with Christ. We're blessed. And we're sitting around complaining about, oh, this going on, that going on, oh, money, I got this ache and I got that pain, and, you know, I'm talking to myself here too. But we're blessed. And this is one of our spiritual blessings. So it says, for by one Spirit, and that's, if you see, big S, that's the Holy Spirit, by one Spirit we are all baptized. So the idea is what? Placed into, identified with. Look up the word baptized. For what? By one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Did it say a man does that? Puts you under water and then you're in the body of Christ? Takes a baby, you know, dribbles some water on him? No. It's the Holy Spirit that takes us and places us or identifies us in the body of Christ. Whether we, and this is what's beautiful about grace, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. What I love about this, see, think through what's, I don't want to say the consequences, what can you take here and think about? Neither Jew nor Gentile, right? Mm-hmm. How about neither black or white, mm-hmm. nor Asian, mm-hmm. brown, Mexican? Mm-hmm. We're one. See, there ain't no race with grace. Not when you really understand. We're a part of each other. You know, there's diversity and unity. Think of the Trinity. One God in three persons, right? Many members, right? But one body. And see, we can be different, but we're one. And we should be one in unity, right? One in purpose. Amen. So, what does it say? The Holy Spirit places us into the body of Christ. Aren't you glad He did it? Or would you like to still be aliens? You know, dead in your sins. Lost out there wondering what life's about, being controlled by the sin nature and Satan when you didn't even know. I'm free, ain't nobody telling me what to do. Oh, somebody's telling you what to do. Your flesh is controlling unbelievers. The only true free people are believers. We're free. We're free from the world. We don't have to conform to it anymore. As we get into the Word, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, right? We're free from the flesh, and we're free from Satan. But I'll tell you, you want to make that freedom real in your life? Get into this Word and rightly divide it. Memorize it. Think about it, right? Count it. Reckon it. You know what reckon means? Count. It's count. Right? When you're counting, what are you doing? You're thinking. When you count your money, what are you doing? I know you get that. Ooh, I've got too much, so I don't got to count much. You're counting. You're reckoning. You're thinking through. That's why it says, reckon yourself dead to sin. You start thinking about what God said. You died in Christ. You were buried. You rose again. You're thinking. God's... I dealt with that Sunday school... Sunday, God's Word says a lot about thinking. Think on these things, right? Go to Colossians 2, 8 through 13. And we're going to see this baptism has nothing to do with water, has nothing to do with on the other extreme of speaking in tongues and these things, you know, getting slain in spirit, whatever. So what did I say? Colossians 2, 8 through 13. Satan's very subtle. Satan tries to imitate God. It said that he comes he transforms himself into an angel of light, right? He ain't an angel of light. So what's he trying to come across as? This guy in a red suit with the pitchfork and a tail he tries to tuck in his red tuxedo so you don't know it's Satan walking in the church? No. He comes as it's godly. In the form of godliness, right? He tries to fool you. He's very subtle, and you know what he does? He used the word of God, doesn't he? Didn't he tell Christ, throw yourself down if you're really the Son of God? And then he quoted the scriptures, right? Doesn't Satan today, in a lot of teaching, say, if you confess, you think positively, God will give you all your dreams. You'll be healed. If you got faith, right? You'll be healed. You'll financially prosper. God will give you all your dreams. He just wants you to be so happy. He's going to just spoil you, right? Remember when... See, that ain't true. Paul says, creation groans, right? And we ourselves groan. When you look at Paul's life, you look at, he said, sometime he didn't have food, right? Look at all the things Paul went through. See, the Christian life ain't a life of ease. It's a life of joy as we're focused on the Lord. It's a life of freedom, but it ain't a life that's easy. Because if it was easy, would we have to depend upon Christ? No, you could just do it yourself, right? Remember what Satan offered Christ? Same thing that type of teaching offers. No suffering. He says, first he tempted him, oh, if you're really, throw yourself down. How about food? Turn the rock and the bread, right? If. You don't got to be hungry. If you're really, you really got faith, get your bread, name it and claim it. Right? And what about no suffering, the cross? Right? I'll give you it all. I'll give you all the world. You can have it all. No suffering. You see how subtle Satan is? And so, back to here in verse 8. Beware, lest anyone spoil you. You know what spoil means? To lead away as prey. To carry you off as spoil. You know when they would go in the Old Testament and God says, you know, destroy the whole city? No, people say, oh, look at that God. These weren't nice people. They were such a corrupt society. But then what would happen? They would go in, take over that city, and leave with spoil, right? They took from the people. Here's the same thing. Satan, it says he comes in as an angel of light. So should it surprise you that false apostles, and they come as ministers of light, with these false teachings, but they'll use the word of God, but out of context and not rightly divided. It's all over TV. That's why we need to know this word. Beware lest anyone spoil you through what? Philosophy. What is philosophy? Philo. What is those four loves, right? Agape, phileo, Storge, and Eros. Okay. Phileo, when you think of phileo, what city do you think of? Philadelphia, what is that? The city of what?
Brotherly
love. So it's love, and so I forget what the Greek word is, but it's sophism, and it's a love of knowledge. Now, God doesn't correct loving true knowledge, because I probably didn't go into the word, but he talks about us knowing some things, right? So knowledge based on revelation from God, that's good knowledge. But this is humanistic knowledge. And I think of, it's like the Greek knowledge. Greeks loved wisdom. They sought wisdom. What did the Jews seek? Light, right? And what did Rome seek? Power. And I forget it, the where the things were, because they're saying the part of it. But it talks about, in Corinthians, I believe, that in the face of Christ, the light of the knowledge and the power of God in the face of Christ. I know I didn't correct that. Everything's in Christ. But see, human philosophy wants to get wisdom and knowledge apart. And they want to be puffed up with their big, how smart they are. See, it's that pride. I'm smarter than you. It comes in dispensationalism, tell you the truth. People, I know more than you, and they just want to correct everybody. But they usually ain't doing much out there. They're not out there doing Bible studies or whatever, you know, trying to build people up. And but they love to just nitpick and attack, you know. There's a lot of that. And that's what turns people away a lot from rightly dividing mid-ex dispensationalism. Because people are mean about it, and there's a self-righteous. What's it say? Knowledge puffs up. So just knowledge to be based on knowledge. When does knowledge become wisdom? Huh? When applied. When you take the knowledge that we're learning from rightly dividing the word, find out Paul said, I give you the commands of Christ. So they're from Christ, through the Apostle Paul to us, and when we start applying that to the details of our life, you start becoming wise. Get to be a wise guy, like the mob would say. But it's godly wisdom. But here he's talking about, I think of psychiatry, psychology. I'm not talking about, there is a science, and when you talk about neuropsychology, the physical brain, how it works. But when you're talking about psychoanalysis, things like that, you got to look back at the roots. Where did something come from? And then you know what the fruit is. Where did psychiatry come from? Sigmund Freud, right? Carl Jung, Rogers, all these, none of them were believers. It's atheist. It's a root. They sought knowledge, understanding in their own, without the revelation from God. So when you go to someone, where's the roots? So if the root is rotten, what's the fruit? You know where our believer psychology comes from? The Word of God. What's psychology? The study of the soul. Well, if humanistic psychology, they don't see we have a human spirit and we need revelation from God to understand us. He designed us, right? I know believers that go to humanistic psychologies. There's somebody on Facebook right now, a young guy. I'm trying to encourage him. I guess he was real strong in the Lord and he's just got discouraged and he's going to go see a counselor, and I don't know if what kind of counselor it is. But one more thing that I'll throw in there. There is no Christian psychology. There's Christians that teach secular psychology. There's an organization called CAPS. It's Christians Association of Psychologists. And I don't know what the S is. And when asked, what's different from the way secular psychology teaches and youth teach? And I said, nothing. See, it starts out as, we're going to teach the Word of God and we're going to get some truth in psychology, psychiatry, and we're going to use that to help people. But you know what it gets to be? pretty soon the psychology takes over and you're trying to find verses to back up what that error is. Either the Word of God is enough, Christ is in us, His Holy Spirit, who is our counselor, right? And not only that, what were we talking about? We're baptized into the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, nobody has, you know, it's sort of like vegetables, you know, a meal. You say you have vegetables, Joanna. You got steak, right? You got potatoes. You got milk. You got orange juice. All right. Nobody's got all that we need. See? But we each got something. There's no better counseling tool than the body of Christ. When somebody's been through something, see, maybe you're going through something I can't understand, but I can go, come here. Steve went through this. So I take him over there. And because God works all things to our good, even our past, now He brought us through something, we can help somebody else out. See, it's the body of Christ and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit who then takes and turns on the light. He's always leading us, but He's not always filling us. Filling means controlling. He's always one. He's bringing thoughts. But sometimes what do? Shut them off, right? Think about other things. But anyway, in verse 8, beware lest anyone spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. See, it's very deceitful. It's a real good sounding argument that it's your parents' fault why you are the way you are. You know, it's society's fault why you are the way you are. I do drugs because they didn't get me that bike I wanted when I was... And then my mommy potty trained me a little bit early. You know, it sounds very good, and you know what it does? It turns the blame where you were blaming yourself. Now you're just turning poor mommy and daddy. What's the first thing they'll ask you? I wasn't planning on even talking about this, but how was your relationship with your parents? Nobody had a perfect mother and father, I'll tell you. And guess who did have a who had a perfect father?
Jesus.
Adam, right? Christ?
Yeah.
Adam did. And did he mess up? Can't blame on God. He tried to. Oh, the woman you gave me. If you wouldn't have gave me that woman, I wouldn't have did that. So beware lest anyone spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After, listen this. This is how Satan works. He'll spoil you, he'll take you captive, and he uses his human beings to philosophy, so human philosophy. See, the idea of philosophy is too how humans think, how they reason, right? You ever heard somebody say, my God wouldn't send nobody to hell? That's human philosophy. God, my God has loved, the Bible says. Oh yeah. But it said he's righteous. It said he can't look at sin. It said he hates sin. It said he's merciful. It says he's a God of grace and mercy and righteousness. See, we got to study all the Word of God, right? To know. And then we appreciate his grace. Mercy is he didn't give us what we deserved. Punishment and hell, because he punished Christ. You know what grace is? He gives us what you don't deserve. Blessed you with every spiritual blessing. So, it's that humanistic philosophy. Think about it. The Greek philosophy, they sought knowledge, but apart from God's revelation. And vain deceit after what? So you got philosophy, humanistic philosophy, and the tradition of men. What do you think he's getting to? Religion. Traditions, handed down. I was just listening to another really good pastor and Bible teacher talking about how where a lot of the traditions came. If you remember Paul, even while he was still alive, he said all those in Asia have turned from him, right? While he was alive. You say, people go, I never heard about the mystery of dispensation of grace. The mystery, secret. How come everybody else, how come most of the church ain't teaching that, right? When I learned complete forgiveness, the assistant pastor, me and him, we'd bump heads then. Because he'd get mad because I was sharing everybody about it. And to me, I'm going to share the truth. You know, and actually later, me and Tom, when we were renting from Gage Park, the Park District, and we had started a church. So, you know, we had two rooms and it wasn't the best. It echoed and stuff. But that church offered me and Tom to give us a church building. You know what I said? Never. They wanted us to come under their umbrella of protection. I'd have to teach what they told me to teach. See? And I ain't about to do that. I'm following the Word of God. I'm following Paul as he followed Christ. And I'm rightly dividing the Word. And I'm going to teach what I see as true in here. And if somebody can show me, like Martin Luther said, if you can show me logically and scripturally, I'll change my view. If not, this is what I'm following. And I want, in my own heart, to stand with God. I don't care if nobody will stand with you. That's where we got to be. Because the more and more it gets to closer for Christ's comeback, you see in Paul's, it's not going to get better. You know, you hear in the church, oh, revival's going here and there. No, and Paul's epistle says they're going to turn from the truth. They're going to raise up teachers. They're going to have itching ears, right? So it's going to be harder and harder to stand for the truth unless you got your focus. Lord, I want to stand with you. You know, otherwise you're going to be pressured. So you have philosophy and empty deceit after the tradition of men. So what happens? Even while Paul is alive, they're turned away from his message. They're not turned away to believing in Christ. You know what they start doing? Mixing this earthly kingdom message and then taking some of Paul. And then there's a stark age when the Apostle Paul and all the disciples had died out. There's no church history. You know what comes out after that? I don't know if it's 50 or 100 years, Steve. Do you know? Anyway, you don't hear. And then you start seeing this mixture of law and grace. The priesthood. Actually, it develops and you have starting to get to worship Mary. And you see a lot of different things come out. And it got lost. There was always some little that would grasp some. You know, God's always got a few, a small remnant, if you want. But then it got recovered. It started to be recovered by what? The reformers. Martin Luther in the lead. And what did they recover? That justification by faith alone, by grace alone, not just what Rome taught. That, oh yeah, you say, ask a Roman Catholic if they know the doctrine of the Roman Church. If you're saved by grace through faith, they say, oh yeah. And then you'd be like, boy, I was led to believe, you know, you guys believed in works. But if you, you know, get down to what it's really taught, oh yeah, you're saved by grace through faith. Christ gives you the grace to do the works. See, it's right back to works. But if you don't do the works, you ain't saved. You know? So anyway, they recovered what? The reformers, that you're saved by grace through faith, not by works. You're justified just by God's grace through faith in Christ. And what else? Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone. That was such a great turning point. Okay? And then later on, so they got that back down. How are you saved? But they were barefoot Roman Catholics, if you want. They never got fully out of Catholicism. But then you had Dan Darby recovering the idea of the rapture. Or you have like Schofield and the difference of Israel and the body of Christ. See, they were starting to recover grace truth. It wasn't something new. If it's new, it ain't true. It's always been in the Word. Like when they asked Martin Luther, where's this been? Where's this teaching been? He went like this. He blew off his Bible. Nobody's reading the Bible. It's church They believed in the scriptures, but tradition, what Paul just warned about tradition, it said tradition will interpret the scriptures. Instead of, it should be what? The scriptures should interpret as tradition right or wrong. And then you have, later on, C.R. Stan, some other ones, that recovered Paul's gospel, that Christ gave Paul the dispensation of grace. Now we have that, and we should be rejoicing in it, and we should be sharing it, right? And we should stand in it, because you know why? If we don't, it can go away, just like in the Dark Ages. That's what happened. It was called the Dark Ages, and some terrible things happened in the Dark Ages. So we have to watch for this, what Satan will use. After the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. So all them things, philosophy, vain deceit, tradition of men, the rudiments of this world, they're not the ideas after Christ or according to Christ, which wouldn't have the idea of in harmony with Christ. These are from the world. And if it ain't, there's two stores in town, right? You got God and what? Satan. There ain't no in between. There ain't no mix. And then for talking about in Christ, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete. So fullness means what? Completeness, right? So it was the Son, the Father, the Holy Spirit in bodily. Alright? Fullness. Can you add the fullness?
No.
If your glass is full, it's full. And what? And in him, and ye, you, are complete in him who is head of all principality and power. We're complete in him. Can you add the completeness? Then why would I listen to somebody who tells me, once I trust in Christ, now Christ comes in and dwells me, I got to get the Holy Spirit. If I'm complete in Christ. Maybe because that person might mean well, but they're not rightly dividing the word, and they're not looking and letting their doctrine and their understanding be led by the word. It's being led by teachers that are teaching them the word. That's why I always tell everyone, if you've heard me say it before, don't believe a word I say unless it's in the word, in context, historically, grammatically, and rightly divided. Then believe if I'm telling you the truth. And think about it. If not, then, you know, and ain't nobody got everything except God. So, you know, teachers make mistakes. Pastors make mistakes. I don't agree with everything of our pastor. Overall, I do. But that's why you study the Word of God yourself. You know? Because if you're a thinking believer and study on your own, you're not going to agree. Me and Steve, we study. You see, he teaches, and I want to say thank you, Steve. I think you did a great job over the winter, and I believe everyone was blessed by it. But me and him, on the major things, we're in pretty much agreement, but there's things here and there, and that's okay. You know, it's just gray areas, if you want. So it says, now we're getting to the why this isn't, it's a spiritual baptism, a spiritual identification, a spiritual placing you into the body of Christ. It says, in whom you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. What's he talking about? What's circumcision?
Cutting away
the flesh. So what's he talking about? Romans 6. You died with Christ. You died who you were in Adam. God cut you out of him. See, that's the idea. So, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without what? Hands. It's not done by a human, right? And putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, he's talking about not a human being doing this circumcision, right? It's actually in Christ. Now, he's going right into baptism. Why would he jump to now a man, a pastor, that, you know, what do they say water baptism is? What do they tell you? Why you should get water baptized? Don't they tell you that after you get saved, the first thing you should do is get baptized as a testimony?
Yeah.
It's a picture.
Outward expression of something in Christ.
See, that's tradition. Where do they get that from? Scripture. See, when water baptism was in vogue under the kingdom program, what did it say? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. It wasn't a testimony. That's before Christ's death, right? And even after. Because it wasn't revealed to Paul that now what? Believed that he died, he was buried, and he resurrected. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. See, there's things in the Bible that says that. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So what do some churches teach? Baptismal regeneration. You got to get baptized. And of course, in their church, so I heard somebody say that, well, I told him I was baptized 3 times. He said, no, you got to get baptized here. Of course, huh? I was baptized 2 times. Once when I was a little kid, water baptized. Actually, I was baptized 3 times. Once when I was a little child, 9, 10, because I thought it was an adult thing to do. You know, you get to go in front of everybody. So I didn't trust in Christ. Then after I trusted in Christ, I listened to what they told me, that this is your first testimony, and it's what God's Word says do. That's your first act of obedience. So when I'm going down in the water, he's putting me down, I'm thinking, this is for you, God. And God's probably sort of smiling, thinking, I know your heart, why you're doing it, but you ain't doing it for me. Because I didn't tell you to do it. But I do understand you're doing it because they told you to do it, you know. And then, you know, the 3rd time I got baptized was before that, when I trusted in Christ. I was taken out of Adam, buried, identified, baptized, placed in the Christ. That was a real baptism. And we'll see, there's only one baptism for today. Now, if there's one baptism, how many can you have? If there's one baptism, how many can you have?
One.
See, it's not a trick one. Paul's waiting for me to check him, man. He's like, he's going to say one, then. He said, no, it's going to be a trick question. Paul, will you stand up? No. If one is one, otherwise the word don't mean what it would. You know, like Calvinists will tell you, you know, when it says Christ died for all, well, all don't always mean all. You know, well, when it says all are unrighteous or all are sinners, does that mean, you know, you can't just pick and choose what context, you know, will tell you things. But anyway, I forgot where I was going with that. Just go to the next one. We'll go back to Colossians. So, and whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So this is spiritual circumcision. Now, it's the same idea, spiritual baptism. Buried with him in baptism. See, buried, not drowned. When Christ died, because they say that's a picture, right? Of your death, burial, and resurrection with Christ. When Christ died, He didn't go in water, did he? He died on the cross. When he was buried, was he buried under water? No. He was buried in the tomb. See, it has nothing to do with spiritual baptism. It's not a picture of our spiritual baptism. And when you see it like that, that was just my testimony, you lose, and that's why Satan's so subtle. So he doesn't want you to know what happened to you, who you are now, how God's working the Holy Spirit. He wants you to get a wrong idea. And that's why we want to seek the Holy Spirit, depend on Him to really teach us and really study this Word out. So, buried with Him in baptism, so I see you were identified or placed into, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised Him from the dead. So see, it's the Holy Spirit and God has something to do with this, right? It has nothing to do with the man taking you, maybe a good, well-meaning pastor, he's been taught that, but it's a tradition's handed down, and that's how Satan's very subtle. And tradition is hard to break, isn't it? You try and tell somebody their traditions off the wall, Because they've been taught, like when I went, was it Pentecostal 8 years, and I love Pentecostals, you know. I had some, there's some people who really love the Lord there, but they just, you know, were into this emotionalism and things. There's nothing wrong with emotions. You know, I get emotional. I get zealous when I'm teaching or preaching. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you're looking for experience to verify God, I've seen some dude on TV. He says, if there ain't no signs, there ain't no verification for that ministry. And what does Paul say? We don't live by sight, we live by faith. Right? So, you see, this is what? A spiritual, right? In verse 13, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, see? You were uncircumcised. Has he quickened, what's that mean? Word mean? Made alive. Together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So let's go to Galatians 3, 27 through 29. A couple books back. So, is this water? It says, for as many as you as have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ. So, did water put... That? No. See, it's a spiritual baptism. You were placed into His death, His burial and resurrection. Now, God sees you clothed in Christ Jesus. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you're all one. There's Israel, the number what? Is common to Israel?
12.
12 apostles, right? 12 tribes. You know, in Revelation, you got 12 tribes of 12,000, 144,000. Sorry, Jehovah's Witnesses. They're Jews. They're not the elders. And if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Go to chapter 3, because heirs according to the promise. 3:13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Oh, wow. You mean we're not under law? Why do churches teach we're under law? Tradition, right? Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive what? The promise of the Spirit through faith. See, we receive the Holy Spirit. He gives us life. It's life in Christ. And He makes you complete. Go to chapter 4, verse 3 to 6. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of this world. But when the fullness of time had come, so it was exactly the time that was perfect. You see, religion was developed to the max. Who do you think of when religion, the highest standard of religion, who do you think about? The self, very self-righteous. Pharisees. They tended that their teachings were based on God's Word. And then they made fences around God's Word. It wasn't in the Word, because they says fences to stop you from breaking God's Word. And the fences, that's what you call the traditions of the elders, if you want. I forget what they call it. The Talmud? The teachings of it? I don't know if I'm right about that. It might be. But anyway, that become more important than the actual Word of God. Now, if they were to look, and you'll see this in churches. We can't go to the beach because you know what that would lead to. Can't go to the movie show because you know what that would lead to. Don't let wine touch your lips because you know what that would lead to. And these become more important than looking into what the Word of God says. Now, does that mean, you know, on the other spectrum, Paul says, because we're under law, I mean, we're not under law, we're under grace, Shall we just continue in sin? No. Paul said all things are available to me, right? Under grace, God's not going to punish us. All things are available to us. But why shouldn't we just go? Because Paul said, I won't be brought under the power of any. Nothing. I want to be under the power of the Holy Spirit, of Christ in me. I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. He said, all things are available, but not all things are profitable. That's why we don't do that. And Paul gives us instructions how to apply it, how to deal with things, how to avoid certain things. Because you don't want to say, well, you know, I'm under grace, and let me see how close I can get without jumping in. And you get close to that line, and Satan's right on the end, pulling your foot, letting them get a little foot in the door. So we want to be wise. Paul says walk circumspectly, right? That means like a tightrope walker. Very carefully. If I'm up high on a tightrope, I'm going to be walking very carefully. And the other thing is, why does he say that? Because Satan, are you getting convicted? Because I am. I don't know about you. Satan says waiting to ruin our testimony. So people won't want to listen to us. See, and if we want to really be used by God, we want to be very careful to adorn the gospel in our lives. Let's see, did I read that whole thing? 4:3-6. The fullness of time, the Pharisees' religion was developed to the max when Christ came. And not only that, what? All roads led to Rome, right? There was a whole lot in that. It was the perfect time Greek was the language of the world, I believe. So God sent forth the Son, made of a woman, as Isaiah said, a virgin, born of a virgin, made under law. So Christ, during His earthly ministry, what's He doing? Teaching. He's born under law. What's He doing? Teaching under law. He didn't say the law is going to be nailed to the cross. You don't know that till you see Paul. It was nailed to the cross. But it didn't say it was known. It's not till Paul was raised up that Christ reveals it. To redeem... I'm getting a foot cramp. I'm sorry. To redeem them that were under law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit reminds us that we're children of God. He reminds us of our identity because we get our eyes on our actions, right? Every day we don't act, you know, people think because I'm not doing this or doing that, them outward things. Every day we come up short in our thoughts, you know, our attitudes, in our actions. You know, that's why it's so important to know our identity, how God sees us, so we can learn this don't match who I am. I'm really being a hypocrite. Because I'm acting like this and that's not who I am. What's a hypocrite mean? The idea is what? Putting on a mask, right? So when a believer, you know, because they got it wrong in the world. They say if a believer talks about God, but then, you know, you do some sin or something, you're being a hypocrite. Oh, no. It's with the believer, it's reversed. We are children of God. We're saints of God Most High. We're children of God. We got God's DNA flowing through our spiritual veins, right? And we should walk like this because that's who you are. That's Paul says. To the saints in Corinth, right? One of the most carnal churches there was. And he does rebuke the behavior, but he always tells them who they are first. This is who you are. That's why I shouldn't act like this. So when I'm acting like this, I'm actually being a hypocrite because this ain't who I am. When I'm acting like an unbeliever. You know, when I'm acting who I am as a child of God. And that's a moment by moment thing. You know. Some moments we don't. And then I know myself, I regret it. I make a bad choice. What about if sometime I'm sharp with my wife? say, now everybody's ready to jump me. How could you be that way? Mary, she's so sweet. See, and you know what I mean? The flesh, just always waiting. But when you do something, you don't have to focus on that. Now, most people would say, God, forgive me. You know, I got to confess. No, no, no. God says, you're completely forgiven. Yes. Now go talk to her. Mm-hmm. And I need to ask her to forgive me. You know? And she's so sweet. She would after she smacks me a couple of times. Nah. Nah, she is sweet. All right, let's go to, we're running out of time. Let's see, there's one baptism. Ephesians 4, 3-6. Just remember that. Just think of Ephesians 4, 4. And then you'll get yourself to it when you're trying to show somebody this. Start in verse 3. There's a unity of the Spirit. When you get out and you pervert, corrupt, or change something, it ruins unity. And we're going against the Holy Spirit. And devering, this is, we need to put some effort into it to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, it brings peace when we let the Word of God teach us what's true. What does, even today we're dealing with baptism. There is one body. See, one. How many bodies of Christ?
One.
Oh, that throws out the two-body theories of the Acts 28ers, I guess, right? There's one body. There ain't two. It's teaching that there's two-body theory. And one Spirit. How many Holy Spirits? One. Even as you are called in one hope you're calling. What's that hope? The rapture. One Lord. How many Lords?
One.
One Lord, right? This is pretty simple so far, right? One faith. How many faiths are there today?
One.
The faith of what? What Christ reveals to Apostle Paul, the faith in Christ and the dispensation of grace. The mystery. One baptism. Now, I've heard somebody who was sort of a wise old man in a lot of ways. He used to be on Moody. Had a real deep voice. And a lot of things he said were good. He did a lot of good things in a way. He used to go to Africa. But he was teaching on this. And he said there's in Ephesians it says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, right? He says, yeah, it's being baptized in the Holy Spirit, but then you got to get baptized as a testimony. See how it's double talk? I heard someone else, a very popular, funny, humorous pastor. I'll be nice. Won't mention his name tonight. Sometime I do. Saying, you're forgiven completely, past, present, future, but when you sin, you got to confess and get forgiven. I'm thinking that's doublespeak. You're saying one thing out of your mouth, and no wonder believers don't feel like... You ever hear somebody say, I don't feel like I'm forgiven? Because they're hearing so much that you ain't until you do it. Where Christ said what? It's finished. Paul says what? Ephesians 1:7, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, right? And how did we get it? Through our confession? Through our penance? Through hot scalding tears? No. Through His blood. So, Ephesians 4. So, how many baptisms? One. And if, what is that? First Corinthians 12:12-13 said we were baptized by the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. There's your one baptism for today. Anything else, whether it be now we're getting Spirit baptized with the evidence speaking in tongues, that's something else. That was in Pentecost during the kingdom program, or you got to get water baptism. You got to make your choice. Is the Word of God, is the Word of God. Does God mean what He says? There's one baptism that throws all the rest out for today. They had their place. Water baptism had its place. And we don't have time tonight, but I'm just going to tell you real quick. You could go to Exodus, I believe, 19. I had a whole list of what water baptism really represented. God told Israel if they would obey Him, He'd make them a kingdom of priests. That means there would be kings that were priests. Kings in a kingdom, right? Authority. And you know the first initiation of Aaron and his sons, the priesthood? Washing. Baptism. That was the initiation into the priesthood. What was Israel going to be? A kingdom of priests. So why did John the Baptist come preaching? Because repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That's what water baptism, there was a purpose. It was ceremonial cleansing. And those who believed, what did they do? They got water baptized. The lawyers and the Pharisees and them, they didn't. Because they didn't believe. They didn't believe God's word. Even at Pentecost, what did He say? Repent and be baptized for what? The remission of sins. See, the message of the Holy Spirit baptizing us in the body of Christ, you don't get that till you come to Paul. Because that's part of our spiritual blessing. I better close. But go to Romans 6 for your own homework. Romans 6, 1-14. And then out of that comes Romans 5:10, that we're reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we're saved by His life. His life in us. His resurrection life coming by His Holy Spirit, indwelling us and resurrecting us. We were dead in our sins and the uncircumcision of His sinful nature, and He made us alive. So that's one of our blessings of. And I'm sorry that it's so long, because now we kind of forgot some of the other ones, but you can always go back on the internet and kind of go back over them. And next week, if we keep doing the lesson, and I mentioned too that before I end, for the ones who weren't here, the board's going to take a vote on if we're going to continue the Thursday night Bible study. So they're going to do it. Because I guess the idea is not enough people coming or something. But, so they're going to vote next Sunday. So if you would like to have it keep going, talk respectfully to them and just request that you would like to see it keep coming. And if not, don't say no. yeah.
Who is the board?
Martin,
it's the pastor.
Ronnie, Pastor Ricky, and the guy that was with the city.
Yeah. So talk to the pastor and
he's got a good idea.
And even, you know what?
You don't have to talk to the pastor.
He's committed to be here.
He's on board.
Yeah, but just to let, or you could take a list, whatever people's names that you would like, and give the reason why, and then give it to the pastor. He can give it to the board. I'm going to close with prayer, so I don't want to get this really much on the tape. But if we do continue, we'll be dealing with one of our spiritual blessings. We're not under law, thank God, because we have to live perfect. But Christ fulfilled it, nailed it to the cross, revealed that to Paul, and now we're under grace, where God deals with us with just unconditional love. Grace is an extension of His infinite, unconditional love. So let's pray.
Are they thinking of cutting it off?
Yeah.
Good?
Yeah. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just rejoice in You, Lord. We rejoice in Your Son, and we just thank You for giving us Your Holy Spirit, our teacher, our comforter, our companion. He goes with us every place, and the whole Godhead indwells us. Boy, that's just mind-boggling, God. And we're focused on other things so many times, Lord. I pray You help us to just think about these spiritual blessings, that Your Holy Spirit bring it to our mind, that we'll rejoice and others would see that joy and that peace. And also that we would know what we have in Christ, that strength, that power to love, to forgive, to say no to sin, to say yes and live upright and godly because of Your grace, God. Power to have courage to open our mouth boldly to share Christ, to share the gospel of grace to this. People are in this lost and dying world. Every day people are going to hell, God. And I pray, Father, if there's one who's listening or here, I don't know people's hearts, God. I think, as far as I can see, everyone's saved, but I don't know. I pray, but if there's one listening through the internet or through the CD, and they trusted in their religion, maybe they got baptized and thought they were good because the priest or the pastor told them their, you know, they told them to say some little prayer and repent of all your sins and believe in Christ. And but they've never trusted in Christ alone, God. I pray they throw, like my old pastor used to say, throw their deadly doing down and just trust that Christ did it all. That they wouldn't trust in anything they did, anything their church did, anything the Jesus' mother Mary did, the saints did, but only that Christ is the mediator, the one mediator between man and God, the Lord Jesus, the man Jesus Christ. And I pray they would do that and they'd be eternally saved, God. And then they would look to learn how to rightly divide the word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I wonder if that's a call from heaven.